Give me a drink. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou?" This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he had heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said to them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And the Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted himself and saw none but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no man condemned you?" And she said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Then Jesus spake Jesus again to them, saying, "I am the light of the world, and he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The Pharisees therefore said to him, "You bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true." Jesus answered and said to them, "Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, because I know whence I came and whither I go. But you cannot tell whence I came and whither I go. You judge after the flesh, and I judge no man. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me." Then said they to him, "Where is thy Father?" And Jesus answered, "You neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also." These words spoke Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again to them, "I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come." Then said the Jews, "Will he kill himself, because he said, 'Whither I go, you cannot come'?" And he said to them, "You are from beneath, and I am from above. You are of this world, and I am not of this world. I said, therefore, to you, that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou?" And Jesus said to them, "Even the same that I said to you from the beginning. I have many things to say to you and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak of the world to the world those things which I have heard of him." They understood not that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said unto them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." As he spoke these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's seed, and we never be in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say to you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said to them, If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is the father. He is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God hears God's word. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said to him, Say we not well that you are a Samaritan and have a devil? Jesus responded, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeks and judges. Verily, verily, I say to you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews to him, Now we know that you have a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, If a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? And Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him, and if you say, I know him not, I shall be a liar, and if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews to him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and thou hast seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took up they stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Not exactly the way I read it, but let's see what it really says in it. In John chapter 7, we know that when they finished up here, that every man went to his own house. But Jesus didn't go to his own house, did he? He went to the Mount of Olives. And what would that be? The Mount of Anointing. The Mount where he talked to his Father a lot. He went to a place. And it doesn't necessarily mean that he went up on a mountain, although he may have walked up on a mountain. But he went to a place in the Spirit to see his Father, in the place of anointing. And he was the anointed, wasn't he? It says, and early the next morning, the language literally says at dawn the next morning. Why don't they put the word dawn there? I don't know, but that's what it says, at dawn. He came again to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down, and didn't say and taught them, it says to teach them. He came with a purpose. He came to teach. And there's too many people running around the ministries today that are trying to do all kinds of things, and Jesus came for one thing, to teach the people, didn't he? That's what he came to do, to teach them. You know the old adage, if you feed somebody for the day is one thing, but you teach them, feed them, give them a fish for feed them for a day and teach them how to fish, you'll feed them for life, won't you? Teach them how to take care of themselves. And I think that's the basic principle that God had when he sent Jesus to this earth, was to teach us how to live our life spiritually without having to depend upon some organization or some hierarchy telling us what to do. Because God dwells in his people, and that's who should be telling us what to do. Okay? And the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her, stood her in the midst, it literally says, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses, in the law, commanded us that she should one that such a one should be stoned. What do you say? And they said to him, they said, tempting him, in order that they might have something to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Don't you think that was a little irritating to those religious Pharisees? That someone would not pay attention to them? See, it's the same today. You have religious Pharisees in the church system, and when they speak, they expect everyone to pay attention. So it's basically something under the law.
Can you tell the verse then?
Yeah, just now. Yeah. Yeah.
What did he write on the ground and what was the significance of it?
I'm going to get there in about two more verses. Okay? So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said to them, He that is without sin, or he that is sinless among you, let him cast the first stone at her. Now, what do you think that did to the Pharisees? Because they thought themselves to be righteous, didn't they? They portrayed that. It's the same thing today. They portray the fact that, or the supposed fact that they are sinless and righteous because of all the works that they do in church, in the church system, and because they are leadership in church. Well, most of them became leadership because they voted for them or somebody paid their way through something, not because God chose them to be a leader. Okay? And after he said this to them, he got their attention. And I'm going to show you in just a minute, Bob, answer your question. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Now, if you'll turn with me to Jeremiah 17, verse 13. Okay? Jeremiah 17, verse 13. Went too far. We're talking about Pharisees here and scribes, aren't we? Do the scribes and Pharisees know the letter of the law? Do you think so, Bob? Okay. Look what it says in verse 13. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake you shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. You know what I believe he was doing? Here's what he was doing, Bob. When he knelt down, I believe he was writing their names in the dust, just like it says right there. He was their names of the ones that was accusing the woman. I believe he was writing their names in the earth. That's what I truly believe. That he was writing their names in the earth. And they saw it, and they knew what this scripture said in Jeremiah. They knew that. You know what? When they heard that, they knew it was on them. It was coming right back at them. So what'd they do? From the eldest, they showing respect to their leaders all the time. Right back out. They left. Sure, that's what I believe it was. There's no proof to say exactly what he was doing, but I think that scripture in Jeremiah, it's where I was led to, shows the fact that he was bringing the law right back to accuse them. Because the law does one thing. The law will accuse you, won't it? If you do something wrong, it will accuse you. And they were accusing, so they reaped what they sowed. The law accused them back also. Look what he said on the next verse, in verse 9. This here supports what I'm saying, Bob, okay? And they which heard, being convicted by their what? Their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Now, when it says, and they which heard it in the first part of that verse, verse 9, that word heard means several things. It means heard, understood, or comprehended. When they heard, okay? Now, here's what he was doing. Stooping down, writing in the earth, but they heard something. He was inside of them. See? They knew what they were doing was wrong. But they were in the majority, so they figured they had a right to do it until he convicted them of it by the Spirit of God in him and them. What it says is they were their own conscience. Sure, they felt that until he pointed out something to them. And what he was doing convicted them that they're no better than anybody else. The scripture does say, the book does say that God is no respecter of persons. See? And they are showing respect of persons, and that's not of God. Okay? In verse 10 says, when Jesus lifted himself up and saw none but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are your accusers? Has no man condemned you? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus answered her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. But I can see a parable in this. Can anyone see it? Well, in the parable, I'm talking about the woman and the man. There's an accuser. There's a woman and there's a man. The Christ and the soul. And no man. I can see the picture of the Garden of Eden. I can see Adam and Eve in this. Can you see it? But see, no man condemns you. And didn't Jesus say he didn't come to condemn anybody? He was a deliverer, not a condemner. Okay, on to verse 12. Then spoke Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, or literally what? Ignorance. But shall possess, not have, but possess the light of life. If we follow Christ, we will possess the light of life. Oh, I just set them on fire. And the Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear record concerning yourself. Your record is not true. And Jesus said unto them, if I bear record of concerning myself, yet my record is true, because I know whence I came and where I go, but you cannot tell or know where I come or where I go. He's talking about something spiritual, and they're talking with the only thing that he can relate to, and that's a natural thinking process. True or false? They're looking at him and saying, where could he go that we can't follow? Is he going to kill himself? Is he going to die and go away? And see, he's talking about spiritual things going on. He was telling them, I am going to die on the cross. And I'm going, but you can't go where I'm going. You can't get there. And see, some people would preach this and say that this was God saying he was better than those people. And no, I don't see that. He's saying he loves the people that's talking to him right there. He had compassion for them.
If that goes along with what he was saying about when he was dead, he's saying that they departed from
him. Absolutely. He just gave them a witness, realizing that you have departed from God. You went after the law and after the letter of the word. You've not went into the spirit of it. So guess what? You've missed the mark. And then he goes on in verse 15 to say, you judge according to the flesh, I judge no man. Jesus didn't come to judge our flesh. What would he judge? The spirit. It's by spirit. You don't take a spiritual man and judge a fleshly man, because the fleshly man ain't got a chance, has he? The flesh man has a destiny, and that's the dirt, to return to the dust from where he came, to the earth from where he came. Verse 16, and yet if I judge, my judgment is truthful, because I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. In John 17, he said, I and the Father are what? One. So he said, when I make a decision, I'm not making this decision upon myself, because the Father that dwells within me, and this should be each one of us saying the same thing, if the Father dwells in me, I don't make any decisions of my own. Because the Father is directing everything we do, true or false. Okay?
What's the consequences of the judgment?
Of the judgment. Under the law, the consequences was death. Okay. There is no consequences of anything except not having a relationship with your Father. As long as I think in the carnal realm, like these Pharisees, under the law of do and don't do, all they're doing is, he said, they've departed the God of Israel, the fountain of living waters. See? And the life comes from the relationship with God, where here, these men, and it's like religion today, have no life in them at all. I was talking with a lady today from St. Catherine's, and Sylvia Ann said, I was in Catholic, I was in Mormon, and I forget several other different assemblies of God and several things. And she said, after a short while, I found out there was no life in them. See? And she says, I don't know what kind of mess I am. I said, you're in good shape. You've got to experience all those things, but yet you know God is true. And she said, when I started hearing the teachings of this truth, she said, now I realize that, you know, it's okay. And I said, sure it is. It's okay to make mistakes. That's how we learn. But there's people all over the world that's finding out that there's no life in going to church every Sunday, sitting down, being quiet, stand up, clap your hands, sing two songs or three songs, sit back down, clap your hands, get your wallet out, and throw your money in the kitty. There's no life in that. None whatsoever. If we come into a meeting anywhere we go, and when we leave, we have not learned something, we wasted our time. And I'm not just into knowledge. It's knowledge of God that we need to learn about. I don't need to learn more about the weather, more about the earth, or anything going on the earth. I need to learn more about God and who He is in me and who I am in Him. That is the only focus in my life that means anything. The rest of it's just stuff that has to go on in life. We're in this world, but not of it. And as long as we got a desire, like Bob said, he wanted to learn something tonight. You know what you said? You wanted to learn something tonight. If we can learn something more about our Father, understand one more thing, we've probably surpassed most understanding that most church folk get in their whole life. If we learn one thing. Because they sit in there, listen, there's a dead words read off a piece of paper. It's not spirit. It's not spirit when somebody screams and yells and hollers. That's not spirit. Spirit is spirit. And when spirit talks, you'll know spirit's talking, won't you? Because it'll witness with your own spirit inside. Because we're all the same spirit. Where did I leave off there? 15? Okay. And 16 it says, and if I judge, my judgment is truthful, because I'm not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law, so now he's going right back to their law again, that the testimony of two men is true. Yeah. And the men said, if I can find two people to say this man did something wrong, I can kill him. Is there something wrong with that? That sure is. See, he didn't say it was his law, did he? Your law. They lived by the law. They lived by the written law on a piece of paper. And see, if we're spiritual people, as God has called us, guess what? We don't live by written laws on a piece of paper. I don't live by written laws in this thing here. Because it says in Jeremiah, it says in Jeremiah 31:31, Hebrews 8, verse 9 through 13, it tells us what the new covenant is. And it says the new covenant, he's written it in my heart. He did it. So guess what I'm living by? A law written on a piece of paper or a law written in my heart? Which one is it, Bob? Absolutely. Now, what's this book right here going to tell me? It's going to be a reflection or a witness to everything that God has written in my heart. But see, I can't get the witness unless I get in the book. See? I hear people all the time say, well, you know, I just go on and I don't need the book and God just tells me everything. See, what they're doing, they're getting deceived when they think that I can live outside that. If there was any way that you could build a house without a tool, don't you think people would quit spending their money for tools? Wouldn't you build a house? If you could build a house with no tools and be perfectly square, plumb, and level, would you go buy all them tools? I wouldn't. Don't need them. And I don't think we can build the spiritual house of God without having His level, square, and plumb, Bob. And that's the Word of God. See, I've got to have that. Or I can't guarantee, just because something flashes through my mind, I can't say, ooh, God said. That's what's wrong with most people. Anything that flashes like a big neon sign through their head, they say, God said, not if it contradicts this book. God didn't say it. Because God cannot contradict himself, can he? Okay. We got checks and balances here. I don't think that our government came up with that idea either. I think God had it long before that. We got checks and balances of everything he said and he'll say to us is witnessed in this book. Okay? Verse 19, is that where I'm at? Or no? No, 18. And if you, where it says that there's a, it's written in your law that the testimony of two men is true, 2 Corinthians 13:1 was one that popped in my head. In 2 Corinthians 13:1 it says, let every word be established in the mouth of two or more witnesses, two or three witnesses. And it's in, it comes out of the Old Testament, and I didn't bother chasing it back. Anybody wants it, you can go chase it back and do you good to look for it. Okay? Verse 18 goes on and says, I am one that bears witness concerning myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness concerning me. There's your witness right there, isn't it? Him and the Father. Then said they to him, where is thy Father? And Jesus responded, you neither know me nor my Father. That right there is enough to make them mad. Said, you don't even know my Father, or you don't know me. If you had known me, you would know my Father also. Why? Same Spirit. Because I and the Father are one. These words spoke Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man seized him, for his hour was not yet come. Why do you think they're wanting to kill him? They're wanting to do all kinds of things, but they can't touch him, and he knows it. Isn't that amazing? They're wanting to do something to him, but they won't touch him. He hasn't finished his goal, and God is not going to let him touch him. Are they? Is he? Okay. Is it any different today? If we are the Son of God, and he was the Son of God, right? Well, if he's the pattern, if they can't touch him before it's time, can they touch you before it's your time? It's impossible. They can't touch you until it's your time. If it's time, let it go. If that's Father's plan, are you going to change it by kicking and flailing? Submit to whatever Father wants. It'll be a whole lot better. Just let it go. Huh? No, I didn't say it felt good. I just said it's going to be better for you. Excuse me. Okay. Verse 21. Then said Jesus again to them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. He just prophesied to them. He said, you're going to... Verse 21. He said, you're going to die in your sins. He prophesied to them, you ain't going to believe who I am. Yeah, he's going to take care of it. But he told them in their lifetime, they were going to die in their sin because they would not believe who he was. Right? He said, you won't believe who I am. He said, whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself because he said, where I go, you cannot come? Boy, wasn't that a carnal statement. And you know, where he was going, they weren't qualified to go. He was going to a hill called Golgotha, right? Place of the skull. He was going up there to be crucified as the perfect, sinless sacrifice. Were they qualified? They were going to die in their sin. They were not qualified.
What's the word sin mean?
Sin? Missing the mark. And they've missed the mark. And see, he told them from the very beginning, remember I read in Jeremiah 17:13, that they that have departed the Lord, right? They've left the fountain of life, the fountain of life out of Israel. The living water, fountain of living water. They left him. And when they left him, they missed the mark, didn't they? And whatever else happens after that, what difference does it make? If I make a wrong turn and go the wrong direction, how many more turns do I have to make before I'm making a wrong turn? Cast the first stone. That's forgiveness. And he said, you know, it's not an issue of that. It's just telling you that you're not going to listen. These people, religious folk, will not hear the truth. I don't care what you say, they won't hear the truth. You'd be surprised how many people I talk to that have heard this truth that I'm preaching about the reconciliation of all of humanity. and yet they try to give it to someone else. And the ones they try to give it to can't hear it. Has any of you experienced that? Okay? But when they can't hear, it don't do no good how hard you try, they can't hear. If someone's deaf and blind spiritually, they can't hear this truth. It's an impossibility. See? Doesn't mean you won't try, but you'll catch on after a while. You might as well just go on when they can't hear and see. Right? Here's the key. Look here, he's telling them why they aren't listening, but verse 23 tells you why they can't hear. Okay? He said to them, "You are from beneath, and I am from above. You are from this cosmos, and I am not from this cosmos or world." This worldly thinking, this mindset that we have. Y'all come from that. He said, y'all come from that. I didn't. So he came from the Father, right? He said, you're from beneath. You're from the lower realm. I'm from the spirit realm. And that's why you can't hear what's going on, because you've never ascended up into the heavenlies. I said, therefore, to you that you shall die in your sin, not plural, sin, sin. The word is not a plural word in the writing. It's a singular word. And there's only one sin. There's only one missing of the mark. What is it? Unbelief. And see, they do not believe that he is the Son of God. But they already departed a long time ago. Their fathers led them astray many years before that. He said, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sin. The sin of unbelief. The missing of the mark. That's all there is. Like I started to say a while ago, if I go down the road, hey Bob, look here. If I'm going down the road and I'm going to a certain destination and I make a wrong turn, did I miss the mark? Okay, I missed the mark. Now if I go 15 more turns, all different directions, do those count any more against me than the first one? The only one that counted was when I missed the mark right there. And see, rather than going back, I've walked off into the darkness, I've got to come back and find my reference point to start again. And that's where he talked about in Jeremiah, they've departed the Lord. That's why their names were written in the earth. So once I've made the miss the mark, the rest of it makes no difference. Once you've left the Lord, what difference does it make what you do? Okay? Then Jesus said to them, or they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, even the same that I said to you from the beginning. Beginning of what? Well, go back to verse 12. In the beginning of this conversation, in verse 12, what did he tell them? He said, who are you? And what did he say? I'm the same thing I just told you before what I am. You ain't forgot that already, have you? Huh? He's the light of the world. And he's the one that lights every man that comes into the world. I have many things to say to you, to say and to judge concerning you. Okay? But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard from him, my Father. People don't want to hear what Father has to say, because Father is turning their little religious apple cart upside down in front of them. It won't work. Father's words does not fit into religion. Father's words are the whole foundation of this world that will work in their religious game. You can't take and make a hybrid religion and make it work. You can't take life and death and mix it together. You can't take oil and water and mix it together, can you? They'll always separate. You might blend them together momentarily, but you let them set long enough and they'll separate again. And that's what they're trying to do, and religion's no different today than it was thousands of years ago when Jesus walked the earth. Men were then trying to make their own gods, and they're still trying to make their own gods today. They're trying to make God, and they're using the same name. They'll use Jesus, but But there's a Baptist Jesus, and there's a Pentecostal Jesus, and there's a Jehovah Witness Jesus, and there's a Mormon Jesus, and you know, every kind of Jesus you want, a Catholic Jesus, and I mean anything you want, you can find one. But they're all different according to their doctrine. Isn't that true? It's all different according to their doctrine. But my book tells me there's only one. He said, I am the way. Not all the different ways, the way, the only way. And they keep wanting to find a different course, an easier path of resistance. It won't work. They understood not that he spoke to them of the Father. That tells you the whole story right there. He already told them they're not of this. They're not from where he's from. They're from beneath. He's from above. Then said Jesus to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, you'll know that I am he. What was he saying? When you get done crucifying me, you'll realize you messed up. Too late for you to understand anymore, to do anything about it, but you've already done what needed to be done. Then you shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing from myself, but as my Father teaches me, not has taught, teaches me, I speak these things. Now that language there, if you look at it, is not a past tense. They made it past tense. But see, listen to what the word says. Has taught. What's the tense? What does God do? God isn't taught anything. He is teaching presently everything going on in our lives. True or false? It's a present reality every day that God doesn't tell us things 10 years ahead of time. He teaches them to us as we need them. As there's a need arises, that's how God teaches us. And that's the way he did with Jesus. He never sent Jesus to school for 300 years before he sent him down here. I don't believe that for a minute. I believe that when he came here, he gave him what information he needed to have. True. Do you think that's true? He gave him what he needed. And I think he gives us what we need, that our life is a progression, and every truth that God reveals in our life to us is a stone to lay another one on top of. It's another course of the block that I can lay another truth on top of that and to keep ascending up into the heavenlies. Okay? Higher and higher. What you'll say in that very hour, because that very hour he'll put the words in your mouth. No, absolutely no different. He was just our older brother. That's all it was. He was an older brother. And he that sent me is not with me, but is in the midst of me. The Father has not left me alone. See, everybody thinks Jesus came down here and Father was way up in the sky. You know, you see these pictures of Jesus praying with him looking up in the sky, saying, Oh, Father. That's religion. Father's in us. He's not up in the sky somewhere. So, when he says, He that sent me is in the midst of me. Okay? He's in here. He has not left me alone because I do all at all times those things which please him. He's not leaving me. See, the thing that keeps you with the Father, you and the Father as one, is when you do the things that he wants done as the things that are pleasing to him. When I do things not pleasing to him, there comes a separation, but it's not him. It's us in our mind, that accusing thing in our mind, okay? And as he spoke these words, many believed what? It's not on, it's believed into him. The word ice. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed him, not on him, the word on shouldn't even be, believed him, if you continue, that means if you stay in my word or you remain in my word, then you are my disciples what? In reality. In reality, you're my disciples when you stay in this word. Okay? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? Literally, it's the word freedom, or it will liberate you. See? If I receive freedom, am I liberated? That makes a big difference, don't it? Literally, liberate. It will liberate you. If I know the truth, it'll liberate me. Now, what if I'm sitting in prison? Is it going to open the prison doors? No, it's going to liberate me in my mind from all the things that religion over the centuries and thousands of years have done to tie up humanity in their thinking process. When I know the truth, I will be liberated in my mind, and then I'm truly a free man. Because the only place you can be held captive is in your mind. This flesh means nothing. But when you're held captive in your mind, that's the most horrendous prison you'll ever be in. And that's where most of the world is today. But sad to say, most people in prison are walking the streets and running in and out of church doors. They're the ones that's locked up in prison. I feel sorry for them, but Father knows all about that, doesn't he? And they responded to him, "We are Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How do you say you shall be made free?" Think that might be another carnal response? And Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say to you, all the ones that do sin," not commit, but do sin, "is the" what? It's the slave of sin. If I commit sin, it's because I'm a slave to it. Okay? Now, before I can do anything, I've got to think about it. True or false? I don't care if it's a split second. There's a thought goes through my mind before I can respond. Your body doesn't respond to do anything until there's a thought process, an electrical impulse goes through your brain on thinking. Is that right? So I can't do anything. I'm not talking about our involuntary eye blinks or anything like that, or our heart beating. But I'm saying when I think something in my mind to do something, if I'm going to reach over and grab a hold of this thing here, I had to think it in my head before I could do it. Even if it's a split second. Okay? I have to think it. There's where the problem comes, isn't it? Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Many times we don't do that. See? We don't take that thought captive. If we take the thought captive, guess what won't happen? There'll be no action on one of those things, would there? If I take that thought captive to the obedience of Christ, how could I ever commit or do sin? No. He just said, don't do that. He just said, do what we're supposed to be doing. Let me show you something. The same man wrote something in another passage. I'll read it to you. First John chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. "He that commits sin or does sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin." Hello? Does not commit sin. "Because his seed remains in him." Whose seed? God. "And he cannot sin because he is born from out of God. In this the children of God are apparent or manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever does not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loves not his brother. For this is the message that was heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Hello? We don't have to be a rocket scientist or a brain surgeon to understand what's righteous and what's not righteous, what's of God and what's not of God, do we? You can take a little tiny baby, and they'll know not to hurt somebody, and they'll know to love someone is better. But by the time they get to an age of what we're going to call accountability, we've trained them how to hate someone and how to be prejudiced, haven't we? Our society as a whole, we've done that. Hate and all that stuff is learned responses. We're teaching our children every day to hate when we hate somebody. You don't have to tell your children to hate someone. All you have to do is hate someone and let your children know you hate them. And you're the teacher teaching them how to hate someone or how to be prejudiced. Where did I leave off at? Okay. "And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the son abides forever." Oh, that's happy time. That's happy time. Do you see it? The servant, see, he just got through talking about if you sin, you're the slave to the sin. He said, but the servant, the slave, is not always going to abide in the house. He said, but the son's going to abide forever. Sooner or later, that slave has got to leave this house of sin, don't he? He's got to come back to the Father where he was. That's the happy time for me. It's not going to endure forever. That's the wonderful thing. And you can be... Verse 36, if the Son therefore shall liberate you, you shall be what? Liberated indeed. If He sets you free, you're free. And you know what you become? When God liberates you by the truth, you know what you become? Dangerous to religious folk. You become an irritant in their eyes, in their ears. You become an enemy to them in their understanding. Because you have been liberated. Because they can no longer control you. Now they run you as a wild ass nature and tell you, you went off too far. Yeah. Oh my goodness. They're just all messed up. Okay? If I know that you are Abraham's seed. Jesus come back and explain something to them. I know you're Abraham's seed. I know your genealogy. But you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. He was telling him, I know your natural seed was from Abraham, but spiritually, you don't know what we're talking about. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. Pretty clear, isn't it? They're from beneath, he's from above. They watch their father, he watches his father. They responded and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's, not were, but if you are Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. He slam dunked them again. And I get people all the time saying, oh, you're too rough. You say things too straightforward. I don't know any other way to say it. I haven't been trained on how to be a hypocrite. Did you hear what I said? I have not been trained on how to be a hypocrite, to say one thing and mean something else. I haven't been trained on how to lie. All I know how to do is say what my Father says to me. And that will be abrasive to religious folk. If they're offended, it tells me they're religious. Right or wrong. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard from God. This did not Abraham. Remember on the Mount of Transfiguration? Abraham and who else was it? No, Elijah showed up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Did Abraham try to accuse him of being crazy? I don't think so. Did he? Huh? Moses and who was it? I can't remember now. But there's one showed up there. I'm sorry. Don't get me off there a minute. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Yeah, but they got a lot of mistresses. Okay. We be not born of fornication. Well, fornication, do you know what fornication means? Does anybody know what fornication means? Sex outside of marriage by someone who's not married. If you were married and have sex outside of marriage, you would. If you were married and have sex outside of marriage, it's called adultery.
Did you just say that earlier about the woman?
Yeah. But the fornication is for someone who's not married having sex. Okay. Different story, isn't it? Same act, different situation. He said, we're not born of fornication. They're saying, we've kept all the traditions. We've married and we've done all these things. We brought our sacrifices in. We've had our little gods over here we worship. We do our little thing here with our money and all these other things and rules and regulations. We wash our hands before we eat. We do all those little ditties that they tell us to do. And we only have one God. Well, they're lying through their teeth. Jesus said to them, look what he says. He might as well just looked them in the eye and said, you all bunch of liars. Because he said, if God were your father, you would love me. Didn't he just call him a liar? They said, our father is God. And he said, if God were your father, you'd love me. I understand that as saying, you're a liar. You're a whole pack of liars. Because I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Do you see that question mark there? There's a question. Now he's going to turn around and answer it because he knows they don't have the answer. Why do you not understand or comprehend my speech? Because you cannot possibly hear my logos, my spiritual words. It's impossible for carnal people. Remember what Paul wrote in Corinthians? It's impossible for the natural man to receive anything from God. Hello? See, the natural man's trying to receive the spiritual gifts. Is it possible? It's impossible because it's spiritually discerned. I can't know a spiritual truth in the carnality. And the people think they understand something, so they figure they've, in the natural, they think they've received a spiritual gift. They earned it. It's theirs. He goes on in verse 44, and he makes them real happy. You are from your father the devil, the diabolos, the false accuser. And the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. Now, who do you think he's talking about? Who do you think he's talking about here? Your father. Who is his father? Who was the first father of all lives? Adam. The natural mind. And what did it do? It produced a seed called Cain, didn't it? What did Cain do? He was a murderer from the very beginning. He had jealousy in his heart, and it turned right into murder and killed his brother Abel. And Adam birthed that, didn't he? And it says there was no truth in him. The natural man has no truth. All he can have is a temporal truth. He cannot have an eternal truth. When he speaks a lie, or the lie, okay, it's the word the, it's the Greek word ho, which is the. When he speaks the lie, he speaks of his own because he is a liar and the father of it. Goes all the way back to the beginning, don't it? And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. You know, Paul made this statement, Galatians chapter 4. Verse 16. I'll read it to you. Galatians 4, verse 16. Paul makes this statement. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You speak truth. If you think you're going to have a lot of friends, you better reevaluate the situation. Because you start speaking truth, the friends get narrower, narrower, fewer and fewer as you go down the road. Huh? Yeah. Oh, yes. He's sifting them off. Just like he told Sodom and Gomorrah. He told Abraham to get rid of Lot. And he didn't do it, did he? So he had to do it for him. That's what it, in our walk, it just continues going on like that. Yep. He gets rid of our flesh because we won't do it. We like our own flesh. Verse 45, and because I tell you a truth, you believe me not. Right? Which of you convicts me concerning sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? That's a question. See, notice what it says. Which of you convicts me of sin? Question. And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Question. Now, he's not even going to wait for a response, but he's going to give the answer again because he knows they can't give the answer. He's given the answer so we can know it. Okay? And he says here, he that is of God hears God's words. There's the answer. You therefore hear them not because you're not of God. Boy, did he slam dunk them again. You go tell somebody today that they can't hear God, and they're going to make you, you're going to make them so mad, they're going to want to, they're going to be hunting for stones. They're going to kill you. I mean, they hate you when you tell somebody like that. I can't help it. I told a person in here one night that their spouse wasn't spiritual. Wasn't a very happy person about it, but it's the truth. I mean, if someone's not a spiritual person, they're not a spiritual person, are they? You can't make that up for nobody, can you? You can't love somebody and just because you love them, you think they're going to be spiritual. No. Only the ones God chose from before the foundation of the world is going to be the ones that hear this truth. There might be some sit around and listen to it and ride the fence, but they're never going to come on in. Then responded the Jews and said to him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan? That means a duality. He has a duality. A Samaritan is made from two races, isn't it? The Jew and the Gentile together, right? Okay? And have a devil? And Jesus responded, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father. That's one of the accusations, as you can bet your bippy on it, if you know what a bippy is.
That's an old word.
You can bet your bippy on this. If you stand for God and say what God says, you'll be accused of having devils. You'll be accused of being insane. You'll be accused of all kinds of things. Someone just came to me this past week and said someone was upset with this gentleman because he came to this fellowship. And they said, why do you even go listen to that man? He's crazy man. He's been in institutions. He's on SSI or something because he's insane. Nothing true about that at all. Not on SSI. Never been accused of being insane. Well, I guess some people have, but no proof of it. I can tell myth if I have to think like they do, they can call me insane. You know, because I'm not thinking like they do. I'm thinking, they're not. It's okay. I don't care what they say. But Jesus said, I don't have a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeks and judges. That's the Spirit of God, the Word itself. Verily, verily, I say to you, if anyone, not a man, but if anyone keep my sayings, he shall what? The word never consists of four different words here. And they rendered it down to one word and called it never. Okay? If you want to know what they are, it's this. Ume, eis, ho, aeon. Ume is the word never. Never into the age. Okay. Never into the age see death. We're never going to see death into the ages. Okay? Then said the Jews to him, now we know that you have a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say if any person, keep my sayings or my logos, my words, he shall never into the ages taste of death. And they say this to him, are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets that are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Now, do you know what Scripture says about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? If you want to turn with me to Matthew 22, verse 32. Matthew 22, 32. I'll show you something. You know, these guys are supposed to be real sharp. And Jesus told them something in Matthew 22, 32. And he says this, I am the God of Abraham. This is what God spoke. He's quoting it. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not a God of the dead, but of the living. So what did he just tell them? You don't even know Abraham. You know about him. You knew there was a man called Abraham. but you never had a relationship with Abraham. Okay? They said all the prophets are dead, but they're not dead. See, is that not a carnal understanding? When we die in this world, is that the end of it? That's the beginning. It's just the beginning. So when we pass through this, what we call life in this realm of cosmos we live in, guess what? We're stepping right on into another phase of life. And God's telling us this right here. He said, they're not dead. He's not a God of the dead, but he's a God of the living. He said, whom do you make yourself? And Jesus responded and said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. He didn't say he was their God, did he? He said, you say it's your God. Yet you have not known him. Slam dunk again. Right? You have not known him, but I know him. If you want to make religious folk mad? Tell them that. You don't know God, but I do. Even though you're telling them the truth, it's going to create a havoc. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his logos, his word. See? And he's not talking about saying, I know there's someone up in the heavenlies called God. He's talking about having an intimate relationship with their father. See? What kind of a father would it be if my father's 5 million light years away sitting on a star up there looking at me? See, there's that someday fly away, hope I can get up there pie in the sky act that the church is teaching everybody. God dwells in his people. True or false? If God's dwelling in his people, he's not on a star up there somewhere waiting for us to catch up to him. He's inside of us right now and guiding us and directing us right now. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And then the Jews said to him, you're not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? That's a carnal view, isn't it? They're talking about natural man. He was talking about spiritual things. He was with Abraham before the foundation of the world. And Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say to you, behold, before Abraham was, I am. Well, if they said it the correct way, it would. But what King James did to it's not right. Let me read to you what it really says. Jesus said to them, verse 58, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham not was, but before Abraham came into being, it's the Greek word genomei, came into being, before Abraham came into being, I existed. That's what it should say. Not I am, but I existed. Look at your words. Okay? Right. They're saying what they're saying is that their genealogy comes from flesh. Okay? They're holding on to a natural man. And he said, before Abraham was, I existed. I existed before Abraham. See? My genealogy does not run with the natural flesh. My genealogy runs by the Spirit of God from the very beginning. From the very first verse in the Bible. In the first fruit, God created the heaven and the earth. Okay? And then took they up stones to cast at him. And I don't like this wording at all, and I'm going to change it to show you what the language literally says. Because there's words that give you when you read a word, it'll put an idea in your mind, and it's not what the Spirit is really placing here. It says, then took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself. Now, when you say hid or hide, it makes a point like you're trying to hide from somebody. That wasn't the point here at all. Like you're fearful or something. It's not the point at all. It literally says he concealed himself. He concealed himself in the Spirit and could walk right in the midst of them, and they didn't know who he was. So he concealed himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and The last part says, and so passed by, but literally it should say, and departed. He went through the midst of them and departed. End of story, right there. That's how he walked out. He concealed himself by the Spirit of God. After he was resurrected, does it not say that he appeared in many forms? Everybody says, oh yeah, that was because he's resurrected. No, he had everything that he had from the beginning. He had it all. Same as it is today. We don't have anything lacking in our spirit today. The only thing we have lacking of is a witness or an understanding of what's within us. There is our problem. There's our weakness. There's our faults. If anything lies in, it's a lack of faith, a sin of unbelief, that we have everything that Jesus had when he walked on the earth. We have a lack of faith or a lack of believing that we are complete in him. Oh, yeah, you can't be. That's Jesus. No, Jesus was my brother, my older brother. And I'm one with him as he is one with the Father, just like he prayed in John 17. Got nothing to hide. I'm not a bit embarrassed about it. I'm not ashamed to say it. They can say anything they want to. It does not change the blood that flows through my veins. But they won't hear it. They will not hear it. See? If he would come and tell us this today in most church realms, do you think they would do any different? They'd do the same thing. They wouldn't be saying Abraham's seed. They'd be saying, I'm Pentecostal. I'm apostolic. I'm Jewish. It's no difference, is there? They're all identifying with some natural form that man has put on the earth. And what good does that do? I was telling these people in Canada today, one of them said something about Canadians. I said, well, I think it's a prejudice to try to say against somebody just because they're from the country of Canada or Afghanistan or Iraq or any other country in the world, just because they're from that country, to label them and say I don't like them because they're from that country. That's stupidity. It's a height of ignorance. Just because somebody's from that country doesn't make them good or bad, does it? It's the individual himself. And if we could judge righteously, as Jesus said, not judge by sight, but judge by righteousness, by the Spirit, you know what? It'd be a wonderful place to live in this world, wouldn't it? If there was no accusations, no prejudice, no pride, wouldn't it be a wonderful place? Now, I'm not even interested in the American flag. Everybody's waving. That's pride. We're superior to the rest of the world. That's what they're saying, isn't it, Bob? We're superior to the rest of the world. God bless America and send the rest of them to hell.
They're not flying the flag over in America.
Wouldn't be a good idea, would it?
Not
yet. They're going to.
No, they will not fly.
Yeah. I bet we'll see one before it's over.
No.
They shouldn't, because that country's still theirs.
They have orders not to fly the flag. No. There was some GI